Welcome to Stewardology, a podcast where two worlds collide. In this show, financial advisor Tim Russell and Reverend Drew Geisey come together to explore the intersection of financial stewardship and theology. Their unique perspectives help Christians and churches understand and apply a biblical framework for everyday financial decisions, so Christians everywhere can improve and strengthen their walk with Christ through biblical stewardship. Before we get started, we just wanted you to know that the topics discussed in this podcast are for general information only and are not intended to provide specific investment advice or recommendations. Investing and investment strategies involve risk, including the potential loss of principal. Past performance is not a guarantee of future results. Securities and advisory services are offered through Genios Wealth Management, member FINRA and SIPC. Without further ado, here are your hosts, Tim Russell and Drew Geisey.
I'm Tim Russell.
And I'm Pastor Drew Geisey.
And we welcome you to another interesting and fun episode of
The Stewardology Podcast. To start off this episode, let's take a look at a few passages of scripture, and then we're going to kind of explain where we're at here.
Yes.
Proverbs 11:14. Where there is no counsel, the people fall. But in the multitude of counselors, there is safety.
Mm-hmm.
What about Proverbs 24:6? For by wise counsel, you will wage your own war. And in a multitude of counselors, there is safety.
That's a good verse.
Proverbs 15:22. Without counsel, plans go awry, but in the multitude of counselors, they are established.
Hmm.
What's the thread going through there, Tim?
It has something to do with counsel.
Yes. I'm telling you, we listen well. Counselors, counseling, and it shows that there is wisdom.
Yes.
We are so glad that God has worked in our lives and in the lives of other people that we can learn from their life experience instead of just continually going through the school of hard knocks, as many of us and even some of our listeners have gone through. A current leader in the financial arena today, you've probably heard of this name, Dave Ramsey, and his organization through his live radio shows, websites, business units,
podcasts.
Yeah. He's got this ministry called Financial Peace University.
So, first of all, it's not a ministry.
Oh.
It's a business entity. It is their arm, which goes into ministries that helps people get out of debt. Ministry, in my mind, means that it's teaching biblical,
gospel-centered things.
It's preaching the gospel. It's speaking truth.
Good.
And standing on explicitly the word of God. And as we'll talk about later, Financial Peace University is, think more education than church. Now, churches use it, and it can be used in a ministry setting.
Yes.
It can be even used well, potentially, in a ministry setting.
Yes.
But it's not in and of itself.
And I think I probably use that phrase only because of my history as being a pastor using FPU there in the church. But we also recognize that many people have strong opinions about Dave Ramsey.
Yeah.
Very few people are ambivalent toward him.
This is very true. Love him or hate him.
For most people will fall into either, I love him, or others will say, Dave Ramsey?
Yeah, as they start foaming at the mouth and twitching.
It's that twitch in the cheek and the face.
Well, so what's funny is that you're going to find people who really hate and despise Dave Ramsey for maybe a variety of reasons, and all of them are extreme, and probably none of them would agree with each other.
Exactly.
So, for example, you've got the individuals who hate Dave Ramsey for his hardline take on debt.
Yeah.
No debt. Debt is stupid. It's like playing with vipers. You're going to get bit. Don't play with debt.
Yep.
No, under any circumstances. And there will be people out there who say Dave Ramsey's the worst person ever. Or you'll get out there and you'll have people who say Dave Ramsey's terrible because of his advice for business owners and how they how they manage their people and their hiring procedures and how terrible that is. Or you'll have other people out there, maybe on the more conservative biblical end, saying, well, Dave Ramsey has serious weaknesses in his theological understanding, therefore the entire structure is weak and deficient and therefore should be avoided at all costs.
And we're going to touch on that later on.
Well, I mean, there are elements of truth to some of those complaints.
On both ends.
But again, the reality is, Drew, you said there are very few people who are actually ambivalent. And I certainly don't feel that I am ambivalent But I have a very nuanced appreciation and caution for Dave Ramsey.
And that's why we're doing this episode.
Yeah.
And we want you, our listening audience, to hear this so loud and clear right now. We are not flaming Dave Ramsey. We are not throwing him under the bus, driving over, and backing up over him again.
It would be laughable to think a small organization like ours could do any flame to Dave Ramsey.
Exactly.
We're not. We do want to offer our critiques.
And that's why we're jumping into this episode.
Specifically, we want to offer this critique for you as you think about, okay, where do I get my advice and my wisdom from?
Yes.
And if you're a pastor or you work in a church and you're thinking about various stewardship opportunities to teach and train your people, I want you to have a more aware understanding of what exactly you're bringing in when you bring in FPU, both for its strengths and its potential weaknesses, so that you can be aware of that to augment any potential weaknesses that it may bring, unintentional, though they may be.
We have our concerns. Not just us, many others do also. And you may have heard this phrase, throwing the baby out with the bathwater. We are not going to be doing that with Dave Ramsey. As a stewardship ministry, we want FPU to continue and we want it to thrive.
Yeah.
But it's not, and it cannot be, the end-all, be-all, proper and complete biblical stewardship arena that's out there. Mm-hmm. So with this basis, let's jump into our discussion today, Tim.
We're going to talk about two different things. We're going to talk about the beauty of FPU, Dave Ramsey's Financial Peace University. We're also going to talk about the dangers of it. So let's start out by addressing some of the positive, praiseworthy elements of what FPU provides to the world.
And there's quite a few.
There are many.
So the first one is changed lives.
Yeah. Let's face it. FPU, the process, going through it, there are so many anecdotal, and I would probably say there's enough out there to say statistical information that shows that if you follow the procedures, if you follow the process, that your life will be changed.
Absolutely.
Well, nothing's ever a guarantee, but the sheer volume of people who've been able to pay off debt, who've been able to build their savings, build their investing, change their family tree. That's one of the phrases that Ramsey likes to talk about.
It's a good phrase.
There are thousands upon thousands of these individuals who have these wonderful success stories.
Right.
So from a pragmatic standpoint, it works.
It does. It does. I actually saw that when I was pastoring at my second ministry, where I actually instituted the FPU classes. I led it for 2 years, and then I handed it over to some of our volunteers. And I saw quite a few people take that course, and it was kind of like that proverbial cartoon light bulb went on top of their head. It's like, okay, I got it. I understand it, because it got out of debt. And they were not living hand to mouth anymore.
Sure.
It changed it. And I even have some family members, my niece and her husband, they destroyed tens of thousands of student loan debt. And after they paid it off, they decided to continue to live differently for a few more years and bankroll a ton of money to actually put a large chunk down on their first house.
So why does it work? I think the answer for why it works is twofold. Number one, from a psychological perspective, it is a simple set of rules or procedure to follow.
Yeah, we're going to get into that.
Well, I know. We're not going to explain what that is. But what I want to say, because it's simple,
right?
Because it's easy to follow, it's step one, step two, step three, is really easy for people to follow through those steps and not get confused. If you confuse, you lose. And he's not confusing people. He's very explicitly clear and incredibly painfully consistent. That's the first reason.
Yeah.
The second reason why it works is because, frankly, guys, it is based on, some of the principles are founded upon biblical wisdom.
Good point.
Now, he may not come out and explicitly express all of the underlying assumptions and beliefs, but they're clearly the foundation upon which all of these baby steps are built.
Right.
So we do want to acknowledge that that's part of why it works is because that's part of the way God made the world to work, and Ramsey's tapping very effectively into that.
Very good.
What's the second reason, Drew?
Personal financial responsibility.
Oh, I love this one.
I'm telling you, this is huge. The FPU program helps people own their own situation.
Yes.
It's not
yes.
passing the buck.
Yes.
This is so important, and I love where they're coming from with this. Dave Ramsey and FPU are making it very clear that the person or couple is not to pass the buck to someone else as the reason of why they're in the financial situation that they're in.
Ramsey's not going to give any quarter to the somebody else is the cause of my problems.
Exactly.
You know, he will entertain that to a point.
Right? To a point. There,
if you've been legitimately scammed, yeah.
Totally.
But then Ramsey
story.
turns the tables
yeah.
on the caller or whomever and says, okay, that all happened.
Exactly.
But what can you do?
Exactly.
What's the right response? How do you make the bad deal that you've been given and turn it into something worth the time and aggravation of that experience?
What needed actions do you need to take, you personally? And the reason why he can speak so well to it, he's crashed and burned himself.
Absolutely.
He's made the mistakes, and he's had other people make mistakes on his behalf, and he's been able to keep it moving, keep that train going.
Yeah, so the personal responsibility, again, another very strong biblical perspective.
I love that part.
Now, this is, yeah, I don't want to keep on jumping back to the negative here, but there's a hint of a negative in personal responsibility if you push it too far. We'll get to that maybe a little later.
Yes, we will. So, Tim, what's our next one?
Hope.
Yes.
So, kind of going back to the fact that because it works and there's so many examples of lives have been changed, because you take personal responsibility and you are responsible to dig yourself out of the mess that you got yourself into, there is actually hope. If you're totally reliant on the government to bail you out, if you're totally reliant on others to make your life work, there is no hope. But if you're the one who has the effort to take the to put the initiative in, people find that there is hope in that. Again, yeah. This is a, let's face it, this is a good thing that people who are struggling with debt, who are struggling with budgets, oftentimes there's a huge psychological element. When we talk about budgeting in church context or debt elimination in our workshops at church, Drew, you and I will go back and forth, and I express in no uncertain terms that debt is first psychological.
Correct.
Before it's ever mathematical.
Correct.
That when you get up in the morning and you put your shirt on, you feel the debt.
Absolutely.
You feel the dog.
Yes.
Barking at your heels.
Yeah.
And when Dave through FBU shows you through the debt snowball methodology
yeah.
that you can actually become debt free, that you can knock out some of those dogs that are nipping at your heels, and then you start to see it work.
Yeah.
And you see the dogs drop
yeah.
one by one.
Yeah.
And you're making progress towards your goal. You get hope and excitement.
This is a huge part of any form of counseling. In my master's degree that I have, I took a lot of counseling classes, and I have been able to transfer a lot of that information into this financial world. People need hope to
yeah.
move forward. No hope means you just sit and simmer and wallow in your mess.
Yes.
Show them hope.
Yep.
You're giving them a path.
Yep.
So, and we already talked about this, but I just want to touch really quickly on this, and that is, the simplicity of FPU, very clear, very simple. It's a one-size-fits-all, which is good, but it also can be a danger. We'll talk about that a little later on. But everybody goes through the baby steps. It's black and white. There's very little room for nuance, and the simplicity is attractive, especially for those that are laden with debt. So I think the simplicity part is what is very attractive, and I remember when I took people through it, that is what people leaned yeah. into, that simplicity.
All right, the next one, so reviewing where we're at, we've talked about it changes lives, it stresses personal responsibility, that provides hope, it is incredibly simple. Now we're getting to, it's painfully consistent.
Yeah.
Dave Ramsey, again, whether you love him or hate him, you are never going to catch him saying one thing here and another thing there.
True.
He is very, very consistent. So what, as a, I have to tell you, I currently consume a number of various Dave Ramsey-esque offerings. So mm-hmm. I do listen to occasionally his podcast or the Entree Leadership podcast. I listen to that one every single week. Mm-hmm. I've been to his Entree Leadership Master Series, his elite level training for business owners and leaders.
Do you have a DR tattooed into your shoulder?
I don't. No, certainly okay. not. I don't drink the Kool-Aid necessarily, but I tell you this to say that I've had enough interactions with the business unit of Ramsey. And I can tell you, they are so consistent about debt. They will not take a credit card. If you're buying his services, you need cash on the barrelhead. You need to send them a check. You need to give them the bank routing and account numbers, or you need to use a debit card. If you try to be sly and slip a credit card in there, somehow they know it's a credit card, not a debit card, and they will reject it.
Interesting.
They will not take a credit card.
Wow.
So look, he's
two thumbs up for him.
He is consistent. When it comes to like COVID, the PPP loans and all of that, he could have applied for that, but he didn't. It's all forgivable. He wouldn't take it. Yeah. He wouldn't take the money. So again, Dave is very consistent. And I will tell you, as a business owner, I admire that about Dave.
Yeah.
He is very consistent.
Yeah. The next one is being unambiguous about the negative aspects of debt.
Sure.
You know, many people will recognize that there are both good and bad uses of debt, and Ramsey is, for the most part, unambiguous about both the moral and financial dangers that living a life of indebtedness, what it does to him, to the individual and to others.
Absolutely.
So whether you love or hate this thinking about debt, he is not going to apologize for his personal convictions.
Yeah.
So, and it has been and will be consistent with what he believes and what he teaches across all of his platforms. Mm-hmm. So he's not a fan of debt, period.
Sure.
Going through that. What's the next one?
So especially for churches, as you think about how churches interact with Financial Peace University, The Financial Peace University, because of everything we've already mentioned, it's consistent, it provides hope, it's personal responsibility, mm-hmm. all of those things, it has provided churches a very wonderful outreach opportunity to reach out into the lives of individuals within their communities to say, we understand that finances are hard. Here are some principles that are essentially based on the Word of God that do work, that will help your entire financial situation be recovered. So churches, Christians, as they use this program, can demonstrate true care and concern for the people living around them. And that is beneficial. Through this, relationships can be established.
Absolutely.
The gospel can be shared and Amen. The kingdom can advance.
Amen.
This is happening today. The U.S. is at all-time high for consumer debt use, over $1 trillion. People need to know that money says so much about what we love and value most.
Yes.
And through a church coming into the lives of these individuals and show that the Christian message about money and possessions is radically different, you know what? Everything changes there.
Yeah.
Because we have that opportunity to really make progress.
Quickly, let me touch on another one, and that is community. They get this feeling that I'm not alone in this. A friend of mine, hey, shout out to Chris from Coopersburg, Pennsylvania. I had dinner with him just a few weeks ago, and we were talking about FPU because he led the FPU classes at the church that I started it back some 20 years ago, and he was leading it for close to 10 years. And one of the beautiful things Chris brought up in the conversation was the community that was built there in that class. And he this was his quote, the sense that I'm not alone in this. I made a mess, but I'm not the only one going through this. And I thought that was an extremely good point and and so valuable to those going through these hard challenges.
Our final positive, our praiseworthy element of FPU is the fact that it does assume biblical principles. It's built upon biblical principles. Now, the biblical principles may not be readily apparent and easily to be seen.
Yeah.
And we'll talk about that in our next section, but it's there. Dave Ramsey does talk about these. This is based on thousands of years of wisdom and biblical principles that are time tested and that work. So again, it is a good thing that we have an individual as highly prominent as Dave Ramsey that does show and demonstrate in various degrees of effectiveness that the Bible is relevant to our lives.
Amen.
So that's a positive thing. But now we do need to switch gears. Let's talk about, there are some areas of concerns. Now, this is not us, again, trying to throw the whole thing out and say, how dare you ever think about providing FPU? Right. But if you're in it, if you're thinking about going through it, or if you're thinking about bringing it into your church,
yeah.
These are things that you need to be very much aware of and guard against the potential dangers that FPU can unintentionally, potentially, I'm going to give them the benefit of the doubt, unintentionally bring to the church.
Yeah. And we want to also make it clear, these are our experiences and experience that we have gleaned from others. So we're not saying lock, stock, and barrel. So I want to make sure that we bring that out. So first of all, Tim, you actually brought this up a little earlier.
Well, I just said it.
Assuming biblical principles.
Yeah.
Take this one. Drive this one for a moment.
So I said on one hand, one of the strengths and the praiseworthy elements is the fact that it assumes biblical principles. On the other hand, it also, the negative, the downside, the danger of it is that it only assumes biblical principles.
Right.
That it doesn't actually make explicitly clear those biblical principles and how they work their way out. So I said it is good that someone with the prominence of Dave Ramsey can show to the world that biblical principles are effective and work and apply in our lives today. That's true. But on the negative side here, because Ramsey's not trying to explicitly teach to a Christian audience, he's trying to be the broad voice of reason and wisdom to the world.
Right. Good point.
He doesn't stand upon the Word of God, proclaim the Word of God, show you how the principles work themselves out, show you how everything points to Christ, show you about the dangers of money and idolatry. He only assumes those principles. So that would be, from my perspective, one of the biggest dangers or downfalls, because we don't get the connection to how money connects to the Bible. You know, that's the crazy thing. The Bible talks so much about money.
Over 2,200 verses, money, finances, possessions.
More than any other topic.
Exactly.
Money is discussed. In fact, the words of Jesus Christ himself, the topic which Jesus spoke on the most was money, possessions.
Finances, and, stewardship, all that kind of
all
stuff.
All of that stuff. So when we look at what's being said, we can praise God that there are some things being said, but then we also look at what's not being said and we say, you know what, there's some dangers here. If we try to become better with money and we start winning with money, that's Dave Ramsey's phrase. He likes to talk about winning with money.
Yeah.
We can win with money and still lose our soul. And that to me is one of the dangers of FPU. Unless you recognize that it's not ultimately about winning with money, it's about winning with Jesus. Mm-hmm. It's about winning in your relationship with, I don't even like the phrase winning.
Yeah.
It's about having a relationship with Jesus Christ, submitting and obeying him and submitting your financial lives and financial decisions to the lordship of Jesus Christ. He is Lord over your life. He is Lord over your wallet. He is Lord over your portfolio.
Tim, in light of this little sub-point, you brought up something in a conversation that grabbed my attention. You said that that he comes through this lens of money is not the ultimate issue. He doesn't necessarily take a hard public, in quote, stance on the dangers of wealth and possessions, yet he does take that stance in certain of his works, like
that's
books.
True. That is true.
Tim, just take a couple seconds and explain that.
Okay, so you also have to understand Dave Ramsey within the broader context of his teaching.
Yeah.
If you read Financial Peace, if you go to FPU, you will hear small little echoes of bigger themes that he'll develop in other works, such as, what's the purpose of wealth and money? Live like baby step number 7, live like no one else, give like no one else, save like no one else.
Mm-hmm.
So all of those things assumes that you're going to be even more generous in this final baby step.
Right.
But it's not really fleshed out. What does it mean? How does it work? Until you get to other books. So you get to books like, I'm going to forget them now. There are a number of works that he's provided, the Legacy Journey,
yes.
I think, or
yep.
something like that. I could be confusing it with another one of his books. But there are a few of his books that go into legacy, go into money, and what's the purpose of money, not being shamed by money, but using it for
Legacy Journey
purposes.
Was right. I just looked
it
up.
It was Legacy Journey?
Yes,
good.
It is.
Those are things that I think are really helpful, really powerful for us to be aware of.
Yeah. The next one is the seduction of wealth. Ramsey's approach could inspire Christians to just pursue more wealth. Material possessions seduce people to transgress God's laws in a myriad of ways. That is a quote from Christians in the Age of Wealth by Bloomberg.
Yeah, Drew. There was a guy I was speaking with. He was a pastor, and he was going through FPU as a participant, not as a teacher.
Good for him.
And this is now some months, maybe a year afterwards, and I'm having conversations with him. We're talking about our stewardship ministry, and he looks at me and says, "You know what? I couldn't really put my finger on it, but having gone through it and having this conversation with you, I see what was missing in Dave Ramsey's FPU, that he was so focused on building savings, growing your wealth, the fact that you can become a millionaire, the focus is to become a millionaire, so much so that there was a growing desire for wealth, money, possessions, there was a love for God. And service for him. So he recognized that was a danger, probably not unique to his own heart, that when you point to these things, point to becoming a millionaire, making that the end all be all.
Right.
Again, Dave Ramsey doesn't necessarily do that. That may be a unintentional reality that this man walked away from his class. But that was something that started growing in his heart that scared him, that concerned him, because he knew what kind of potential danger that would lead him in down the road.
Absolutely.
Now, one of the good things about Ramsey is he is not anti-wealth.
Correct.
And I would argue this is a good thing. And I think the church is probably too anti-wealth in certain respects. We are anti-wealth. We think wealth is somehow a bad thing, that if you become wealthy, that you must have done bad things to become wealthy, or you didn't work hard. It was someone else's work and effort that you got wealth, and you need to be somehow embarrassed by it. You need to give it all away. And Dave Ramsey says, no, wealth is good. We see wealth in the Bible. Wealth is all over the place.
Right.
But you have to be good with wealth. It's not that it's a neutral thing, or not that it's a necessary positive, necessary negative thing. It's a neutral thing. It's that you come to wealth and you bring to wealth all of the strengths and weaknesses of your character. Mm-hmm. Wealth draws out who you are. So we talk about the seductive nature of wealth. If you have deficient character elements, if you find in yourself that what you want is for money to give you possession, power, experiences, these things are going to bear very negative fruit in your life. If you come to wealth with the heart of service and love towards others, and you continue to submit yourself to Christ,
right,
which again, that warning is not there,
right,
you're going to have danger, and that will also potentially bear negative fruit unless you have that Christ-centered position in your heart towards wealth and money.
If I understand right, Tim, this pastor, when we came in and served him and his church with Life Institute Stewardship Lifestyle Seminar, it was a breath of fresh air for him.
Absolutely.
Because it spoke to the tendencies of the struggles of his own heart. And it helped him to get free from this love of money and possessions from what we were able to share from the Word of God. In Life Institute's Stewardship Lifestyle Seminar, we try to be very explicit by saying that all that money has, it's not the end-all be-all. It's all God's money. And money is to be used for God's purposes. And at the end of the seminar, if you wind up loving money more than you love God, we have failed. Money is in the service of worship, not an object to be worshiped. And we'll have to explain that more in detail in other episodes.
Well, let me just go back to what you just said there, because I think this is really important for us to pay attention to. In our seminars, we teach about how to grow wealth.
Yes.
How to become, quote unquote, a millionaire, right?
Yes.
It's part of it.
It's part of it.
But if that's the end, then that you miss the entire heart of what we're doing.
Amen.
Look, I would love for the church to be filled with people who know how to manage money,
yes,
who are equipped with money to be used for the purpose of growing the kingdom of God, serving their families, serving their communities well. The whole world would be a vastly different place if we had more Christians with the wealth,
yeah,
who know how to use it, equip the world and release that money into the world to do good. That is the difference between what I think what we teach and one of the things that Ramsey's teaching. Again, because he's not coming at it to an exclusively Christian audience,
right,
he can't make those statements.
Yeah. And we just want to make a baseline here. Scripture is filled with warnings on the dangers of possessions. Matthew 6:24, you cannot serve both God and money. Luke 12:15, watch out, be on your guard against all kinds of greed. Life does not consist in an abundance of possessions. And Hebrews 13:5, it says, keep your lives free from the love of money and be content with what you have. And then Exodus 20:17, to be sure, the warnings concerning loving money are not merely just New Testament teachings. Even the 10th commandment itself was a prohibition against greed. You shall not, what?
Covet.
Covet. And these are just some simple scriptures that we see there, and I think it's important to have that good, rounded picture. It's not something that we just miss as we read scripture, for if you read the scriptures at all, you can't possibly miss these warnings that are out there. So let's jump in and let's look at the overwhelming drive for wealth. Tim, talk about 1 Timothy 6.
In the context of the negatives, the dangers, we're talking about, it merely assumes the principles, the biblical principles. It seduces you to wealth. And then as it seduces you to wealth, one of the things that does is it drives you, gives you an overwhelming drive for simply wealth. Now, homework. Go back and read, spend some time meditating on 1 Timothy chapter 6. There are two parts of that chapter in particular that are incredibly relevant to this discussion. The first part deals with false teachers and their thinking that righteousness, holiness, is somehow a means to wealth and all of the dangers that implies. And the second part deals with those who are wealthy, how are they supposed to act and behave in this world? And in both of those sections, we see that the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. It is this craving for wealth that drive people away from the faith and cause them to have these self-inflicted wounds. They pierce themselves with many pangs. Now, the second part deals with how do you respond? And the response that Paul gives us is that at the end of the day, we're to use our wealth to be generous and ready to share. Mm-hmm. And in that way, when we take our wealth and possessions in service towards others, we're laying hold of that which is truly life. We're laying a foundation, mm-hmm, for eternal life and taking hold of that which is true life. Notice this. It's through giving or through sharing what you have. This is the kind of like open hand reality, you're actually grasping something. You're grasping eternal life. You're grasping real life. Mm-hmm. And that's the beauty. So the danger here with financial peace is that because it's not explicitly biblical, it doesn't point us to this reality. It just says, go get wealth, go get wealth, go get wealth. And you don't recognize that with that wealth comes a responsibility, that the drive for wealth itself is dangerous, and that the responsibility for wealth is significant. Mm-hmm. We're going to have an army of people who have millions of dollars who are simply interested in growing the pile of stuff that they manage, or interested in how they can use their pile of stuff, their pile of money, to make themselves experience more pleasure. And that's dangerous.
We're not shaming churches for using FPU, because there's a lot of good that FPU brings, but we are cautioning pastors and those that are leading this about ignoring this danger that could manifest in the hearts and lives of the people that are part of this class.
Yeah. This is why pastors beware. And you need to have an intentional way of bringing in the missing biblical elements to round out the teaching.
Yes.
From a Christian perspective, so that the people going through this have a more robust biblical understanding of
exactly.
wealth and possessions. Now there's one more thing I do want to say. With FPU, the unintentional outcome of quote-unquote good stewardship, really it's only concerned with having no debt and being financially secure. That's really what FPU's definition of good stewardship
That's
is.
That's the drive.
If you live by these principles, you will be wealthy and wise, right? That's their thinking. However, if you have debt or are financially insecure, you must in some way be a bad steward.
Right.
That debt and insecurity, yep. not having enough money, having a bad budget, equals bad stewardship. The reality here is that it's like a nice version of prosperity gospel, that if you're going to be a good Christian, mm-hmm. that you are going to be wealthy, that you're going to be living with God's principles, and every single time you apply God's principles to your life, every single time, you're going to result in having more income, less debt, more financially secure. That I know the plans that God has for you, says the Lord. It's for you to be debt-free and have $1 million in your portfolio. I'm sorry, but that's not God's plan for everyone.
And exactly.
Now, to be entirely fair, Dave doesn't say that. He
no.
doesn't say that,
no.
but it feels, from an outside observer, feels like that is an unspoken assumption about God's will for all people, is that they should be healthy, wealthy, and wise. And that if they only lived by these principles, they can become healthy, wealthy, and wise, that it's God's will for them to be healthy, wealthy, and wise if they apply these principles. A danger.
A danger.
Something I want to be very yeah. cautious of.
Our next point would be, then, stewardship is more than just budgeting and getting out of debt.
Absolutely.
Being a good steward is more than just being able to budget and be debt-free. FPU focuses heavily on the acts of budgeting and destroying debt. These are both wonderful things that you should absolutely keep doing. However, the course keeps these two as its primary focus without addressing other areas of stewardship on a much deeper level, such as giving to the church, giving to other ministries, estate planning, Christian investing. Tim, you had a thought here?
Yeah. Look, Dave Ramsey, the financial piece, I think it may only use the word stewardship one or two times. It's not very often in my recollection.
Mm-hmm.
They're not trying to teach biblical stewardship. They're trying to teach you how to win with money. So what is the difference between biblical stewardship and winning with money?
You sounded like a political leader. I'm going to win with money.
You're going to have so much winning, you're going to be tired of winning.
You're sounding like some political person out
All right,
there today.
So we're going to win so often. All right.
I've heard that before.
So I digress. What happens is the difference between winning with money and biblical stewardship is that winning with money is man-centric. It's all about you and your victory, whereas biblical stewardship is all about God-centric. Christ and God-centered. How can I use my wealth to honor him? Now, it's assumed that God owns it all, therefore God has something to say, and what God has to say is that you should be not using debt and you should save and invest. Like, if that's all that God says about money, we're missing a ton. We're missing Christ.
Yes.
We're making man the center of our world. We're making money the center of our world rather than God the center of our world. Yeah. And money is the purpose through which we carry out God's mission on this earth. And that's you can be a debt-free millionaire and be a poor steward.
Yeah.
And I want you to recognize that you can be the most successful FPU poster child and still be a bad steward because you have yourself at the center of your financial world.
That's a great point, Tim.
Now, you can also be an FPU poster child and be a wonderful steward. I don't want to just say
absolutely. That, and I know some that are.
Yeah. So, you know, I'll give you some nuance here, but the course in and of itself is not teaching biblical stewardship.
And I think it's important for the church leaders, pastors, those that are driving this, the people that are doing this, that they realize that FPU, it does not cover the entirety of stewardship.
Well, it covers just a brush the surface.
Yeah.
I
think that, and
which is why, again, our caution is not to say don't use it. You should.
Right.
I think FPU is wonderful, but it needs to be a part of the broader, broader thing for the way churches equip stewards.
Yeah, FPU does not equip all people in biblical stewardship. It starts the journey for the most part, and it can get people moving in the right direction. Yeah. But there's much more than what's there printed in their material and what is being taught through their video course, et cetera. You know what? Let's jump into the next sub point, and that is finances aren't always a one size fits all. Tim, jump on that for a moment.
Well, one of the things we said is that it's consistent, and that the Dave Ramsey FPU is consistent, and it provides a one-size-fits-all model. The reality is that not everyone has the same priorities and values. Now, first of all, as a financial advisor, I could not give the recommendation that Dave Ramsey gives regarding investing. So let's break down a couple of those things. He says you should invest in 25% of your money in growth stocks. I don't know what the categories, growth, international, maybe growth in income, and another, maybe small companies or something like that. I don't quote me exactly on the 25% breakdown. I didn't look it up beforehand, but it's all stock.
Right.
And that if you do this and you let it go forever, you should expect 12% return in the market. And a lot of people say 12%, that's ridiculous. You can't expect that. Now, I would agree.
Right.
You shouldn't expect that.
Correct.
However, Dave Ramsey's not wrong. The long run performance of the stock market, especially within those categories, tends to be around what he's saying.
Okay.
The problem is not with his math. The problem is with our psychology. Look, I fully agree that if you did Dave Ramsey's thing the Dave Ramsey way, you would have Dave Ramsey's results. The problem is you're not Dave Ramsey.
Mm-hmm. Good point.
You don't have the psychology of Dave Ramsey. That's for better or for worse.
Right.
And one thing that you need to recognize is that when the stock market's down 40 to 50%, when Dave Ramsey's investment portfolio goes from 50 million to 25 million, that's a huge hit. He's not losing his brain.
Right.
He's holding the course. He's adding more because he knows this will recover. Most other people, when they see their $500,000 drop to $25,000 or $250,000,
right,
they're losing their shirts.
Yeah.
They're losing their brains.
Panic.
They're moving to cash. They're doing whatever they're going to do. And they're responding out of fear. And because of that, their long-term performance is going to be much, much worse than Dave Ramsey. Now, the other factor is that, look, when it comes to bonds, Dave Ramsey won't touch him with a 10-foot pole. Why? Bonds are debt.
Right.
You are the lender. You're lending money to other companies for them to run and operate their businesses. Dave Ramsey doesn't think companies should ever borrow money.
Yeah.
I don't know about ever, but like
he's consistent.
Almost never should a company borrow money. So bonds are a bad deal. I don't want to be involved in bonds. I don't want to profit from bonds. So he doesn't use them.
Yeah.
look, guys, Dave Ramsey's incredibly consistent.
Yeah.
He is.
Congratulations.
But the reality is most individuals, most retirees need the conservative, like not high risk. They don't want to have a 50% drop in their portfolio. You need to use bonds. I can be a good fiduciary with my clients and give them all stock in their 70s. It just wouldn't be wise.
Right.
So again, this is a one size fits all situation. That's just on the investing. We can apply it to how do you deal with debt, or what do you do with someone with a more unique situation? Now, to be somewhat more fair with Dave, he has an entire radio show where he has shown how to nuance this with the individual life and lifestyle, but there's so much of it that it's very rigid and unwilling to make any modifications based on the present realities of an individual. He will at times, but often it's less rigid than it is flexible. And I think that's one of the downsides. We need to have a flexible approach because life is nuanced. Life is flexible.
So well said. So well said. So let's shift outside of the Stewardology team opinions here. And in my research for this episode, as I mentioned earlier, I spoke with a friend, Chris, from Coopersburg, Pennsylvania, who led FPU at my former ministry for close to 10 years. We had a deep conversation over a three-hour dinner, and he gave me some very good insider perspectives over a period of years of him doing this. And as I was learning, another gentleman, Mark P. from Houston, Texas, he reached out for a personal stewardship review that we offer here, and he and I started talking about FPU. So below is a shout out to both Chris from Coopersburg and Mark from Houston. Hey, thank you guys for your input into this episode. So first I want to talk about Chris. These are some of the things that he shared with me. Chris said that there's a strange connection of FPU to the radio program that he does. For the radio is for the masses, but FPU is for the church. And then he also mentioned that he recognized a big disconnect because of not having the Ramsey Legacy class. Tim, you alluded to that, his book earlier, to take off and go further. It just never moved. So he was frustrated with that because he wanted to take people there. And he also noticed that for most people that he is still connected with, it took around 11 years for those people to go through the baby steps. They weren't really motivated and moving as fast as he thought they should be. And he also, one thing that he just lit up about, there's a junior FPU class in course, and his own kids are still doing it, and it has been very helpful for them. Here's a few quotes directly from Chris. He said, Dave is trying to drive his financial points through the Bible, but he is not driving the Bible. He also said that Dave's theology of money is lacking. He continued to say that Dave is trying to appeal to Christians and non-Christians alike. Goal is for all, not just for believers in the FPU. And he also said that Dave seems to be a chameleon because he wants to appeal to all. He continued to say that you have to apply your own biblical principles to your finances. Don't expect to learn that from Dave or FPU. And Chris said that he did not see FPU as an effective outreach tool for his church. So I thought that was very interesting. He also mentioned that he does not provide any individual counseling in the class. There's none that they offer. He and his wife did one time sit down with one couple in the 10 years he did it, but that was not part of the class. It was just something they did to be a blessing to somebody. Chris's stats that he did off the top of his head, he served about 120 people in about 10-ish years. 75% of the people finished the course with him. And of that 75%, he said probably about 40%, using the term you used earlier, Tim, drank the Kool-Aid and were all in, and financial transformation started or did take place in their life and in their family. Now let's transition to Mark from Houston. And Mark, he found Dave Ramsey on Instagram and started listening to his show. He learned so much, and so did his sister. And they decided to order the FPU course, and to them, just the two of them work toward getting out of debt. Mark also said that one thing that he wanted to make very clear, he says, I listen to the Dave Ramsey show for financial advice, not for theology. Mark then wrote to me by email, and this is what he said, and he gave me permission to share this. He said, Dave's show has several areas of strength. There's his financial advice, like the debt snowball, the resources he has available to give away to help listeners in urgent need, and his blunt persona that can help a stubborn caller realize the mess they've made. I also enjoy hearing the encouraging stories of individuals and couples that have worked hard to pay off their debts, and I celebrate with them when I hear their debt-free screams. He also continued to say that Dave sometimes will quote the Bible verse that have to do with finances, which is good. I'm not knocking the usage of the Bible. However, oftentimes they're cherry-picked. Verses are not used in their correct interpretation according to their context, which can be misleading. And then also Mark continued to say that Dave and his team will usually point people toward counseling sessions without taking into account which worldview to choose from. A secular counselor or therapy session tends to be more about the patient talking about their problems, and the counselor sometimes leans on relieving their symptoms with prescription drugs or give a vague advice. While in a biblical counseling session, the counselor will confront the patient's root issues with the Bible and give practical advice that can be used to turn things around and the outcome and overcome that problem. Since marriage is something that God established, a secular therapist, psychologist, or counselor may have a different approach to marriage issues. That can be the difference between a nasty divorce and a restored marriage. Mark closed out his email with this. This is what he said. Overall, Dave has a great show that I sometimes will listen to. In fact, my goal with this is not to deter any Stewardology podcast listeners from listening to Dave's show, but rather for us to be discerning while listening to him or other podcasts. The robust theological perspective that I don't get with Dave, I get through the Stewardology podcast. Both shows have been helpful to me and have helped countless others. It's not a competition between these two shows. They can learn from one another and do great things for the kingdom of God. Always remember, whatever you do, do it exactly and do it all for the glory of God. Thank you for all your advice and that all that you do. Hey, Mark. Mark from Houston.
Yeah,
shout
you, Mark.
Out to you, Mark. Loved doing that stewardship review with you. It was wonderful.
Yeah.
So, Tim, bring us home. Let's talk about the alternative.
All right. So how do we individually or, you know, in the church, how do we get good stewardship education that is comprehensive, but that doesn't miss the big picture, like the not compromising on biblical truths, or that we don't focus very much on giving or sacrificial giving. We focus on a teaching that focuses on investing that honors God, estate planning that blesses the family and the church, that provides biblical warnings against wealth, the excesses of wealth and luxury, and that has nuances for your personal finances. This is where the Stewardology podcast seeks to help believers in the many realms of their financial stewardship. We are by no means the voice of truth on this topic, but we strive to have an honest approach to seek biblical wisdom that God has provided to us that, when applied to our stewardship, helps us in all of these areas, all of the areas of our life and all of these areas that we just addressed. Along with the Stewardology podcast, we offer the Stewardship Lifestyle Seminars, which are part of or produced by our sister ministry, Life Institute. Life Institute is a nationwide ministry that provides church-based 3-day seminars. The seminars are called the Stewardship Lifestyle Seminar. We just mentioned that. And it comes alongside pastors and church leaders to help them and their congregation establish a biblical framework.
Amen.
For everyday financial decisions. How we do this is by using the Word of God as the basis for what we teach and counsel. And again, we do this all across the country. If you would like to learn more, I'd encourage you to check out lifeinstitute.org.
Yeah.
Or you can stay tuned to our next episode where we'll go a little deeper in what exactly it is that we do.
Well, we want to thank you for joining us on this episode of the Stewardology Podcast. And don't forget, send us your questions, comments, and thoughts at stewardologypodcast.com/idea. And take advantage of our free personal stewardship reviews like Mark P. did, so you can take your next step to become an even better steward. How do you do that? stewardologypodcast.com/review. And also, consider giving us a review where you listen to this podcast, whether it's Apple, Spotify, Amazon, Google, wherever. Please, reviews help us cut down and break through those algorithms and get this out to more people. And also, visit our website, thestewardologypodcast.com. We have some helpful financial and stewardship resources there, plus also our show notes. A lot of information right there in our show notes. Tim, take us out of this place.
Until next time, take care, God bless, and please remember that FPU is not the end-all be-all of biblical stewardship teaching for the church.
Thank you for joining us on the Stewardology Podcast, where financial stewardship and theology meet. We'd like to help you take your next steps in biblical financial stewardship. First, subscribe in your podcast provider to get the newest episode delivered to you every week. Next, follow us on social media and visit our website at stewardologypodcast.com. There you can find our social media links and our entire episode archive. Remember, some trust in chariots and some trust in horses, but we trust in the name of the Lord our God. See you next week on the Stewardology Podcast. Securities and advisory services offered through Genios Wealth Management, member FINRA and SIPC.